Radio.
Computer, activate self-destruct sequence. Authorization, McCafferty, Omega, Omega Prime. Does the first officer confirm?
Confirm, First Officer Miller. Code Miller 00110.
Are you insane?
They are insane!
You're in the hands of an adolescent.
It is a cellular peptide cake.
Inaccurate. But Met Frosting.
It does like you.
Mr. Kip.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
How you doing, Mike?
This is Captain James Kirk of USS Enterprise. Begin 30-second countdown. Code 000. Destruct 0.
It's totally going to go off topic. It's just like the last one.
It will not. Because I'm recording right now, Kim. Ha! Oh, I tricked geez. You.
I moved my mic closer, so hopefully it won't be such a sound volume disparity.
Was there a volume disparity last time?
May or not be a good thing. I don't know. The last time I sounded far away.
Ah, no, we need you.
Like, rah, 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 too close.
No, it doesn't matter. It's fine. In fact, I thought I sounded too loud last time as well. And the reason we're having this conversation for your benefit is because we're not in some sort of expensive studio in Hollywood or New York. No, so pretentious. I mean, we're really close to Hollywood. I'm like super close, and I work in Hollywood, but we are not in Hollywood. We're here for the people. We're here for the common people, for the ensigns, for the crewmen, for the yeomans, for you.
For the Eddie Paskeys.
For the Eddie Paskeys of the world, Lieutenant Leslie's. We're here for you, damn it.
Mr. Kyle.
Lieutenant Riley.
I'll take you home again, Kathleen. No ice cream tonight. Like, oh, God.
Oh, my God. I just dropped something. I'm Mike McCafferty. Hello. Hello. Hi, Kim.
Hey.
What an informal podcast this is going to be. I am seated digitally across from Kim Miller.
Yes.
Otherwise known as... The doctor.
Try to involve Stumpy. But as usual, he was baffled by modern technology.
Maybe Matt Thompson. Phone. Matt Stompy Thompson. He can't figure out how to sign on to Google Hangouts. It's not that hard. I send him a link every single time, and he rebukes me. He tasks me, and I shall have him. I'll chase him around Time Warner Cable and through Google Hangouts till I have him. Now, he's
from
not that.
Cox Cable. From spit at me.
It's not that important. Welcome. I just want to talk about Star Trek. This is the agendaless, episodeless. I just want to talk about Star Trek. It's been like a week, and I'm busy doing a crazy job where I'm writing this show about a deer that has magical powers, and it's taking my time away. So I said, we got to have a podcast. Doesn't matter what it's about. And so Kim is the only one who has graciously decided to help us out.
Because I also enjoy talking about Star Trek.
Yes, you do.
No set topic.
No.
Mention anything and Mike will come up with some obscure Trek-related tidbit.
This is exactly right.
He read 30 years ago. Well, you know, Doctor, if you read The Voyages Beyond or whatever you read.
No, it's... What is that book? It's called Untold Star Trek, The Real Story. Maybe that's not what you're talking about. But yes, I am surrounded in my office here, my possum-surrounded office. So I'm walking to my office tonight, my garage.
And surrounding you like White Walkers around a frozen lake, all yeah, possums.
Exactly. Yeah, oh, and Game of Thrones has ended too. So now our podcast, Hodorcast, not on the Feral Audio Network, Feral Audio, is done. Its watch has ended, at least for a year. Yeah. So now that, but see, here's a good thing about Star Trek Discovery, and to a lesser extent, the Orville, Seth MacFarlane's kind of, you know, homage slash parody of Star Trek.
Yes.
Is that all the big set pieces that are out of the way? Game of Thrones, which has sucked all the oxygen out of, like, the blogosphere. Is there a blogosphere anymore? No. There's no.
Sure,
why not? From 2006, the blogosphere. And then people try to call it the vlog. That's stupid. But the good news is that now there's plenty of space for us to do Star Trek Discovery.
So how are we going to watch this without actually paying to subscribe? Is that our plan?
What are you suggesting, Kim?
Of course we are going to pay, each of us. What is it, $9 a month or something?
Well, it's $5.95 with commercials, $9.95 without. And at first I thought, I was like, this is intolerable. We just watched Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade. Sean Connery. And at first I thought, I'm not going to pay for commercials. But then I thought, no, that's exactly what I should do. We should totally... So what's going to happen is we're going to have, after every episode, sort of a talk back. We might do a live version. I'm not sure. We might do like a on the Facebook page kind of thing, or we'll stream it live for you on Twitch, on something. And, Matt says that his pregnant girlfriend, is in contraction pain. Oh, my God. Congratulations. You may now give birth. Isn't that from Disaster? Isn't that like when Worf is stranded with Keiko in 10 Forward, and he's the only person who can, you know, help her give birth?
He's using his tricorder to scan her cervix.
Scan her cervix. Oh, my God. Gross. Oh, congratulations. You are 10 centimeters dilated. You may now give birth. And Keiko, like, screams in him, you must bear down. You know, it's actually a pretty funny scene. It's not bad. It is such a television trope to get two of the least compatible people together through some sort of event. And this was it. They put Picard with the kids. They put Ensign Roe on the bridge with O'Brien and Deanna. And Roe just manhandles Deanna. She just, I don't know if they thought that putting, like, O'Brien there, and I know I'm asking you to dig deep on this, Kim, but I remember this episode.
I remember this episode.
It's a good episode.
Ensign Roe wants to sacrifice, like, the drive section or whatever, right?
Yeah, doesn't she want to do that? And yeah,
I think she wants to sacrifice a bunch of people because there's no way of knowing what's happening there.
Right, yeah, she either wants to separate the, do a saucer sepa, or is it with the radiation? I can't remember if there's some sort of danger. Like, that's what I don't remember. I think I may be mixing that up with one where Data's in can charge of that other ship. But anyway, so there's a big conundrum there where she wants to do the more aggressive thing, and Deanna and O'Brien are kind of like, no, we shouldn't do this. And O'Brien's like, he's such a milquetoasty kind of character at this point in time. He's just like, you know, he's just a chief petty officer or whatever. He has like no control over anything. Why he's there on the bridge doesn't make a lot of sense.
So he can be separated from Keiko when she's bearing down.
This is true. Yeah, it separates him. So at least we track him. We know what's going on with him. But it's really Ro, who is the new guard, versus Troi, who is sort of the old guard of feminism in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my dissertation on that.
When are we going to have your Women in Star Trek podcast?
Oh, don't ask. It's coming. It's coming.
Too busy.
That's what I want to do. And it's going to start with Ensign Roe. I've been teasing. But I'm not going to tease it anymore. I'm not going to tease it because people who are listening, including Jim and Zach, this is like Romper Room where I call up people's names. I see Jim. I see Zach. They're all on my main view screen. But I don't want to tease it anymore. That's right. That's specious. I know. Well,
I should bring it up each week. Are you saying I should?
Yes, please do. Yes. Shame me into doing it.
Twitter, Facebook.
It takes a lot of. See, like, this is so easy. This is like the joy of podcasting, is that, like, oh, I can just talk to Kim Miller on a Labor Day night, in my hot. Oh, so here's my story about possums, because I didn't finish it, right?
No.
So I'm walking over to my office, and I'm looking at the fence, the white picket fence. It's not picket fence, but it's like a white fence. And I stop and I look, because there's no light there, and there's a shape on the fence. I'm like, is that just like vegetation? And no, it's a possum. And just staring at me, and like not 100% sure, because it's in shadow. So I walk closer, and then I turn on my little iPhone light. I still can't tell. I'm like, I'm not going to risk it. So I just kind of walk away, go into my office.
And then when it's going to leap off and attack you.
Well, I don't. Maybe it's got babies or something, right? I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, it's a wild animal.
Possums have terrible vision, so he probably didn't. He just saw a blob moving around and then shining a light in his face.
Well, it probably has good night vision, right? I mean,
you have excellent smell and hearing, so.
Yeah.
It probably would have ran away when you got close.
This is true.
You
this is true.
Play possum. You flopped out on the ground.
I'm still laying there right now. I'm podcasting from here. I'm hoping it won't. It's like sniffing me right now. Just can barely move. And speaking to cross-reference, speaking about something that has no sight or smell or hearing, you started to watch Devil in the Dark a little bit, right?
Yes.
How far did you get?
I have many distractions, so I got about maybe 25 minutes in.
Okay, so you saw the monster.
Even just in the first few minutes, it starts with the guys at work on this planet, which I can't remember the name now, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And boy, in high def, do you really notice the eyeshadow the men would wear? Like, I remember always noticing it on McCoy when I would watch it on low def regular TV, but just now, it's like, man.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting you point that out. I mean, because we talked about earlier, you know, poor Will Wheaton, you know, going through puberty. And not realizing that 25 years later we'd be calling him out, you know, when there was no, like, you know, what is it, Retin-I 5, whatever, what is the thing that they, the kids, Retinox
5. Retinol?
Retinol, yeah, there's no retinol back then. But, like, in high definition, first of all, you really notice how much makeup DeForest Kelly has on.
Yeah.
And then
really?
They use
blue eyeshadow.
Blue eyeshadow.
What was that?
And then they put the soft filter on him.
Did other shows at the time do that? Yeah. And make him look all romantic.
And make him look beautiful. He's a beautiful man. And maybe they didn't realize that he was a man. And they were like, oh, well, at some point in time, Spock or Kirk will fall in love with Dr. McCoy. Maybe they didn't realize that there was...
Perhaps you've seen Mike's fan fiction that he published under a pseudonym.
McCoy walked into Kirk's... Okay, I can't even do it. McCoy walked into Kirk's room. He paused for a minute. Sorry, Jim. I thought this was my room. Kirk got up, sweaty. The air conditioning units in that deck had not performed admirably. No, it's no problem, he said, pulling on his shirt. McCoy stopped him. Hold on a second there, Jim. I see a mole there that I haven't seen before. Might have to check it out. Jim easily pulled off the shirt and threw it on the bed. Would you like to examine all of me? The door pneumatically slid closed. End of chapter 7.
Seven.
Well, I don't know. Something has to happen. I mean, you can't have a cold open like that.
Oh, of course. On your gay Kirk fiction, it must come mid-story.
Did I tell the story on this podcast about how I read, like, as a camp counselor, I read kids Star Trek?
No, I don't remember that.
So I was reading, I had this, like, novel of, like, it was like a novelization of some of the Star Trek episodes. And I was reading it to the kids as they're getting ready to go to bed. Like, I was, like, one of the camp counselors in Michigan reading this stuff. And they were little pissers. They were just, man, they just made all of our lives so...
How old were they?
I don't know. They'd be between like 6 and 12, you know. But, I mean, it wasn't their fault because they're between 6 and 12. But every once in a while, I would switch. I would start reading the book. And then halfway through, I'd pick up a romance novel and substitute the names of Jim, Kirk, and Spock with the men and women who were in that novel. And I'd read that like 2 or 3 pages. And then I'd switch back to the Star Trek novel, and they never questioned it. they probably had questions, but they never said, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, it was fine.
Very confused.
There was a lot of sweating and throbbing and longing.
Were you reading romance novels to kids, you weirdo?
I don't remember. I don't remember why we had that. I'm not quite sure. I don't know. If you haven't guessed by now,
shortly thereafter.
No, actually, I was given accommodation for original thinking. No, they liked me at that camp. They thought I did a good job. If you haven't figured already, this is basically a rudderless episode of I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. We're just kind of roaming around. We're your friends.
But watching original episodes long ago, whenever you first watched them, did you ever notice the makeup? Or did it just completely go over your head?
I noticed when they switched lenses on DeForest Kelly. I noticed when they put the Vaseline on the lens for DeForest Kelly. Because even the standard definition, even like in 480, like you could see that the women's shots were all very, you know, muddy and beautiful, well lit. And then they would switch to the hard lines of Kirk or Spock, and then they cut over to DeForest Kelly, and he looked like a girl, you know? It was just like...
Why do they do that? Are they trying to make him look younger or something?
I guess.
Executive go, well, he's ugly. Put on the soft filter.
Yeah, maybe. I've read a lot of books on this. I don't know if I had a clear answer. Yeah, I know. You might have stumped me on this. Well, I mean, I know that, I mean, they were trying to get some degree of separation as far as the age of the two. I mean, DeForest Kelly was older, not that much older, but they definitely wanted to have him be a little bit older.
Well, then wouldn't the non-soft focus make that happen?
Yes, which is why I don't understand why they're softening him up.
Let's make him look a little more handsome or leading manny or something.
I guess. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, maybe they were just like, ooh, man, he's a, you know.
He's all right looking.
I thought he's a good looking guy, you know? I mean.
It's like, with Spock, I can understand he's supposed to be an alien, so eyes shadow, fine. But
yeah.
I really know how much blue they put on DeForest Kelly.
They did.
And other people, after seeing Devil in the Dark tonight, I'm like, oh, yeah, they did it to other guest actors as well.
Well, they also did it with Sulu, too, didn't they? Didn't he ever once in a while?
Totally.
He rolled with the eyeshadow.
Came in like that. Like, I don't think Scotty or Chekhov did.
That's. George, you have some eyeshadow on.
I know.
Okay, let's just let it lie. Okay, it's fine. Okay, good. Okay, pictures up. Here we go. Roll cameras. George, we got to draw the line at the mini skirts. Those are for the female characters. I'm sorry. It's just standards and practices. You know, we can't, you know. All right, I'm imparting different things upon him. I know. I'm going to be in trouble for that. It's fine. It's fine. So where were we? All right. So we're talking a little bit about Discovery. Discovery's coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we might. That should be our main thing.
Oh, you're talking about commercial free, and then we went off the rails.
My God. But I think...
We're going to do a thing after each episode. You wanted to talk about the episode each week.
Yeah, so I didn't know if we were going to do like a thing at Starburns, where Dan Harmon does his shows, but I think... Like, based, like, I just don't know if there's enough people who want to come and see the show on a weekly basis. Who want to come and, you know, like, you know, roll out and see Discovery. So maybe we'll have something for the first episode, like a little viewing party. And then after that, we'll kind of like take it. Maybe we'll go down to Farrell and just record there. I don't know. Are you willing to make the drive several times, Doctor, or no?
I could do a couple, I suppose.
All right, all right. Thank you for listening to our scheduling podcast here. We're just going to...
Very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thing. I'm going to keep on being tangential on this stuff, but so I'm writing an episode of this animated series called Vault the Wonder Deer.
And what is that going to air on?
It's airing like in Beijing right now. It's underwritten.
Oh, right now.
Yeah, like right now. It's okay. Translated into Mandarin, but we write it in English. We record it in English. I don't understand what's going on. But I'm writing this episode, and it's about these. It's sort of like a Jumanji feel where they get put into this game, and they have to play through this game to win. And it's like, oh, it's like Jumanji. And then I realize, oh, no. It's actually like Move Along Home from Deep Space Nine, because there's a character on the outside who's kibitzing them how to win. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm writing Move Along Home.
I have not seen that episode. That was your pod with Callie and the other person.
With Abed? Was it with Abed or was it Dave?
Was it Abed?
I think it was Dave. Dave Michelson. Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Yes, friend of the pod, Dave Michelson. David Michelson.
Deep Space Nine authority.
Yes, yes, because you are not, just as Jason is not an authority on Next Generation.
Yes.
Yes, yet. I was going to talk about The Inner Light. That's maybe my next kind of solo one. I think that's one. Yeah. But we're talking tonight about nothing. We're talking about the empty expanse here. Not the TV show, but the expanse. The Dyson? No, Tychus Expanse? What is that thing called? Damn it, I can't remember it now.
Oh. Typhon?
Typhon Expanse? Yeah, what is that?
I gotta look it up.
Look.
Keep talking.
The Typhon Expanse. Yeah, I see it right here.
Oh.
Hold on. Yeah. From, let's see, do you remember what episode that is? People at home, do you remember?
Can you remember before we find it?
Oh, I found it. So you know what it's from, Kim? It's from a great episode. The Typhon Expanse is from Cause and Effect.
Oh, yes.
Where the Bozeman keeps on coming.
Yeah. That's by Captain Fraser Crane.
Like, oh, what the hell? Remember that? Oh, so weird. Oh,
it's that totally recognizable actor from that very popular show running at the same time.
So you stick the landing with this great episode. Cause and Effect is just so damn good. It's one of those ones, it's like a Twilight Zone, X-File-y kind of standalone sci-fi episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good because it starts out as great as you can get. Boom, the Enterprise explodes.
Yeah.
And then, like... it explodes. There's no salvation for it. And then they cut to opening credits. And then they cut back to like three days early.
Everything's fine.
Yeah, everything's fine. And then it blows up again.
That is.
What's that?
I forgot what a good one that is. Season 5.
Yeah, it was really, it's so good because it shows our characters at their best. Mm-hmm. You know something's wrong. And they all work together. They're all trying to figure it out, and then eventually they get it. And then Data's the one who sort of saves the day by seeing the three pips on Riker's collar, which is such a weird mm-hmm. little, you know, like
yeah.
That's the thing.
Three.
Directed
by Jonathan Frakes, written by Brennan Braga.
Mm-hmm. A very good
episode. Working on Orville.
That's right. Braga is working on Orville.
I think you're more excited about Orville than Discovery.
I might be. I'm just because McFarlane keeps on hitting this like optimism of the future, and I think I've seen enough dark dystopian futures in science fiction recently that I'm ready for something that's TNG or even TOS. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, and all the previews for Discovery have seemed like they're very dark, aren't they?
Well, that
Klingon-centric preview.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're not as dark as they could be, but certainly our characters are constantly in peril. They're having, they're arguing with each other. There's a war that's going on. It's going to be a dark series. Mm-hmm. And the Orville, even though it's kind of goofy, at least there's a positive future. So I'm... At first blush, I'm leaning towards Orville, which seems like sacrilege.
There's probably going to be 50 Orville podcasts.
Yeah, there could very well be. Now, my caveat on all of this is that Seth makes great animated series, but he doesn't really stick the landings with his live action stuff. You know,
like
a million.
Ted.
I guess Ted was pretty good, but the ones he's in, I guess I should say, because a million ways to die in the West, and now this, it's like, that's the thing that's worrying me. You know, if he put
like,
in,
might get too goofy or what?
Well, he's just not a great actor, and there's something about, and I, certainly I have acted in my own shows, I've written and acted in my own shows, but there's something about not having that ability to separate yourself as like, I'm the captain of the ship, I'm the captain of this series. You know, no one can tell me I'm doing wrong because I'll just fire them. And, he did get Jon Favreau to direct it, though.
Yeah.
That's like one of the saving graces. It's like, well, if you got like some random, some rando to direct it. Is that hip? Is that millennial? Am I okay with that?
Is that an actual thing people say?
Yeah.
Some rando.
Jeez. But because you have Favreau, not a rando. Oh my gosh, we may have to destroy this podcast. I'm not sure. There's
mid-sentence, you realize. This is terrible.
Computer, activate self-destruct sequence. Authorization, McCafferty, Omega, Omega Prime. Does the first officer confirm?
Confirm, first officer Miller. Code Miller 00110-2. Vendor reference.
Computer, set a 15-minute time limit. We will be done here in 40 minutes. 000, destruct, 0. Mark.
Silent mode.
There will be no more announcements after this. Why was there one in the first place? All right, so we need to backtrack. I need to catch this first. So, because we're talking about cause and effect, great episode.
Yes.
Follow my train of thought. Great episode, so fulfilling. They figure it out. It's a time travel thing. It's, all this great stuff. And then the ship comes through and it's Kelsey Grammer.
Yes.
And it gives you from like an A+ to like an A or an A-. Like, oh, God damn it. Oh, I hate that.
Oh, Frasier.
I know. He's just so Frasier. I mean,
he's been Frasier for what, 20 years?
He did. Yeah, it's like 18 years he was Frasier. Like, he broke the record for the character with the longest tenure. And by that point in time, I'm sure it was, because that was fifth season, probably at least 10 years he was already Frasier. And we all knew it's Frasier. It's Frasier. Dr. Frasier Crane had come through this wormhole, and I bet they had seen old episodes of Frasier, like, holy shit, that's Frasier. Well, we've got a bigger mystery on our hands.
I'm trying to remember, what was the cause for the explosions? Again, trying to find it quick here.
Well, it was
caught in a causality loop.
Yeah, it was a causality loop. So what happened was, the engines were deactivated. The Bozeman comes through and it hits them, and then it causes them to explode. And then they go back through it again. So, not to be confused with yesterday's Enterprise, where it comes through the rift and changes changes everything. This just sends them back and back and back. So anyway, now the only last thing, which also saves it, is as that obvious like Reliant class, Miranda class version of the ship floats by, someone had stuck this badass turret on the back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't remember
and
it, that.
Yeah, it's got these cannons on it. And you're like, what the hell is that? That is so cool. Like, when you're younger.
I'm always amazed how you can identify Miranda class and different classes of ships.
Well, I
remember these things.
Was it the Oberlith class, the Miranda, the Constitution, the Galaxy? You weren't there, actually. You weren't there when we were at, this is actually an earlier podcast, but when we went to the Star Trek convention in Vegas, they had a trivia contest. And someone said, like, oh, what class of ship was the Reliant? And, like, they give away the answers. The answer is the Ambassador class. And, like, 15 Uber nerds leapt out of their seats, like, including myself. I'm like, it's Miranda class. It's Miranda. And we're all like. And so I don't know if they gave us credit for it or not, but we were all freaking out about that. So.
Your people.
My people.
Your tribe.
Yes. We have 10 minutes before this podcast self-destructs, just so you know. All right. So we're going back to the Orville. I remember where we're at. So I don't know if we'll get together and watch that. I don't think we will.
Yeah. It's September 10th, was it?
September 10th. It's like in 6 days. What day is
that? Was that when it was?
10th or?
Okay, I had to look it up last time we were talking. You're like, what are you doing?
I'm pretty sure it's the 10th, but let me see. I'm seeing a lot of.
Yes, the 10th.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of advertisement for it. A lot of billboards.
On Fox.
On Fox, yes. I have the city of Oroville, which I was just passed through looking at the eclipse. Little bitty town. All right, so we're going to watch that, and we'll report back to you. Again, this is all about Star Trek, but I think we need to talk about it just a little bit. And then, 2 weeks after that, on the 24th, comes new Star Trek.
Yes, finally.
Now, you're going to be up there for that, right? We're all going to have to get together for that. There's no question.
24th? Let me double check. More scheduling podcast!
Yeah, tell me when it's Star Trek. Yes,
the 24th is a Sunday. Yeah, I can do that.
Is it a Sunday? Wait, let me see. Oh, I'm looking at January 2017. What the hell's wrong with me?
Perfect. Actually, I have to be up there Monday evening, so.
Oh, see?
Figure something out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So next Sunday is the Orville, and then in 2 Sundays after that, it's Discovery. So, yeah, you'll come up for that. And if you want little bitty place, and if you want to join us, let us know on Twitter. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
because it'll be exciting. All right, do we have anything else we want to talk about, or should we just like blow up the ship now?
Well, that's one thing they never did. Let's just hurry this along. Computer, just detonate now.
Yeah, just, I can't wait for it. I can't wait. Now, I wonder if, there's no other, first of all, our cars, our ships, they don't have self-destruct, do they? Maybe some planes do. Maybe, like the U-2 plane did, but.
Do they? You're not sure about that.
I don't know. I mean, I've never seen a self-destruct.
Did I pay for that extra when I got my Kia?
That's what that button does. Oh, Jesus. I never pushed it. I guess I probably shouldn't, but it's so tempting.
Of course you would eventually. By mistake, let me just turn on these defrost. Ah! Over and over and over. Wait a minute, my wife has 3 buttons on her shirt. She told me to open the main shuttle bay.
Did you say my wife has 3 buttons on her shirt? Sarah, authorization code husband, Omega-3, destruct 001. Oh, God.
What are you talking about? Focus on the road.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to finish off tonight's podcast with a couple of trivia questions because that's all we've got time. Maybe this will spur us into something even more interesting So I'm opening up this book. It's called Obsessed with Star Trek, 2,500 questions, 25 billion questions.
You bang it on the table more loudly and often.
Bonk, bonk on the head. All right, Kim, I'm going to ask you some of these questions. We'll try to puzzle them out. Here we go. Question 289. Why does Janice Lester resent Captain Kirk. A, she feels betrayed by her. She feels he betrayed her. B, he no longer loves her. C, he took credit for her discovery. D, he represents the fact that Starfleet didn't allow female captains.
Oh my gosh, I haven't seen that one in so long.
All right, I'm going to...
Is that the Turnabout Intruder episode?
Yes, it is.
Oh gosh, last one.
Hold on a second.
Because he didn't love her?
No, hold on a second. I'm pretty sure it's D. I'm trying to get the answer for this. How do I do this?
Doing? Sounds like you're playing a little tambourine.
All right, hold on. I'm programming it to answer the question.
Programming? What are you talking about?
Well, this book has a little computer on it that you can ask the questions and then type in the answer. Oh, so, question 289. And the answer, I think, is D. He represents the fact that Starfleet didn't allow female captains.
You mean this futuristic, brilliant organization?
Yes.
No, girls don't know anything. It's their boobs.
Oh, boobs, yeah, that was a bad stupid one. All right, let's here's another one, Kim. Riddle you this. Where was Lieutenant Mira Romaine born?
Oh, crap.
A, Earth. B, Memory Alpha. C, Martian Colony 3. D, Vulcan.
I don't remember who Mira Romaine is. Remind me who that is.
I think she's the one where Scotty falls in love with her. And then they go to Memory Alpha and like it destroys them. I think.
It's not the one where she's going. Oh.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Hmm.
I think it is Memory Alpha, but I could be wrong. I'm gonna put in the answer. Incorrect. Damn it. Oh, the Martian Colony 3.
Oh.
Dear God, that sounded made up. Damn it. All right, so we're 1-2. Here we go. Let's see.
Memory Alpha.
All right. This is Next Generation. What is the Ferengi word that most closely means captain?
Oh, God.
A, Negus. B, Tog. C, Broctor. Broctor.
Never even heard that.
I'm Broctor McCoy. Or D, Damon.
Gotta be Damon.
I think it's Damon, yeah. So let's go up 1-3. 312.
What is that little thing?
It's the little thing that you push that. All right, so I'm.
Mouse tambourine.
Yeah, we got it right. All right. All right, two more, and then we'll be done. All right, we have to. Because this has to be. Is this boring, everybody? I don't care. I don't care, but I'm excited about this. This is, for me, this is interesting.
Lightning round.
Lightning round. All right, here we go. Let's see. We'll go to. What department deals with astronomy and star mapping aboard a starship? A, stellar cartography.
Yes.
All right, let's see. 392, what was the name of the starship engineer whose holographic likeness Geordi began to fall in love with? This is easy, too.
And Mike began to fall in love with.
Oh, God, I'm so in love with her still.
Crush on her.
Do you remember her name?
Susan Gibney.
Oh, God.
Who played... Jesus.
Oh, I just got excited there for a second.
See her face. Don't tell me.
What is she doing now? Susan Gibney.
Doctor.
Dr. Leah.
Leah Brahms.
Yes.
You should try my Fungili.
All right. Who was the Borg that Geordi managed to isolate from the rest of the collective?
Hugh Grant.
God, these are all of a sudden really easy.
Yeah.
What was Ambassador Spock's true purpose on Romulus? Reunify the Vulcan and Romulan people? Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Oh, yeah. These are all terrible.
What are the other options they give you?
Overthrow the Senate. Save his father's life. Mind Meld with Sela. No, that would have been better, right?
Oh, those are good red herring options. Sela.
Sela. All right, two more. Two more. Here we go. Let me go back to TOS. Here we go. Ching, 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 ching. Here we go. Who said uncontrolled power will turn even saints into savages, and we can all be counted on to live down to our lowest impulses? Was that A?
Sounds like it's from TOS.
It is, yeah. A, Spock, B, McCoy, C, Alexander, or D, Parman. So I have a feeling we're doing...
Quote again?
Uncontrolled power will turn even saints into savages, and we can all be counted on to live down to our lowest impulses.
Sounds like someone talking about Parman.
Yeah.
I guess Spock?
It seems a little derogatory to live down to our lowest impulses. Uncontrolled power will turn even saints into savages, and we can all be counted on to live down to our lowest impulses. All right, I'm going to say, you said Spock?
I'm going to guess Bones, because he says our impulses.
All right, let's try it. Incorrect.
Ah,
it was Parman.
What?
Son of a bitch.
Gotta watch it again now.
All right.
Tweedledee, he's Tweedledee.
All right, last one. Last one. Here we go. Let's see. Which is the TNG one?
Computer. Auto-destruct now.
So this is a... I don't get that one. So here's the question. Well, no, I won't do that one. All right. What Starfleet bad boy did Robert Duncan McNeil play in Voyager? Harry Kim, Tom Paris, Lieutenant Carey, or Chakotay? That's too easy, too.
That's too easy.
Oh, these are all terrible. All right, well, here we go. What was the name of the elite cadre of Starfleet Academy cadets Wesley was part of? Red Squadron, Nova Squadron, Hawk Squadron, or Omega Squadron?
Nova.
Nova. Was it Nova Squadron?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I won't even answer that. I'll just say that one's right.
What was the name of the illegal maneuver they performed?
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
That killed that kid.
What was it?
Something star? Oh, crap.
Well, that's really great. You're just like throwing things out.
I was asking. I bet you would know.
It's not in the book. I don't know. All right.
Jaeger Loop.
The Jaeger Loop. Oh,
no.
Wow.
The Colvord Starburst. I see. I would have star.
Jaeger Loop sounds like something we should be drinking, right? I'll take two Jaeger
Loops. They claimed they were doing a Jaeger Loop, but they were, in fact, attempting a Colvord Starburst.
Oh.
They ignite their plasma trails.
Right. And then instead that guy died.
First duty.
The first duty. And our last duty is to finish this. We've already been destroyed. We got blown up like 2 minutes and 12 seconds ago. So, and we done blowed up this podcast. Thank you for listening to this. This was actually the best podcast. This is the best because we don't feel constrained to talk about things that are interesting, do we?
Are they buying it?
Yeah, they have to be. They have to be. Come on, guys. Stick with us. This is going to be good. This is the lull. This is the eye of the Trek cane. Oh, that's a bad... Oh, God. Why would I even say that? Oh, forget that. Have that stricken. Thank you for listening. We've got so much cool Trek coming up. We have even the Orville coming up. Hey, there was a new Star Trek Continues. I'm going to go watch that probably right now. But then in like less than... 20 days, less than 3 weeks. For the first time in 15 years, we have new Star Trek. New televised Star Trek.
Drought is over.
The drought is over. Unlike in The Inner Light. And that's... well, anyway. All right. Forget about that. All right. Thank you for listening. Like, comment, subscribe. Put down a review in iTunes. It helps us. It makes us feel good. I'm Mike McCafferty.
I'm Kim Miller.
And I just want to talk about...
sequence completed and engaged.
Don't you understand? Anything but this.
When the train comes in, everybody rides.
Your daddy can put them up, can he?
Rock a somber, emotional state.
They haven't been in service in over 80 years.
Open a channel.
Captain Morgan Bateson of the Federation starship Bozeman. Can we render assistance?
I'm Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Federation starship Enterprise. We were just going to ask you the same thing.
Captain Picard, your vessel is not familiar to us.
Captain, have you any idea what has just happened?
Sensors detected a temporal distortion. Then your ship appeared. We nearly hit you.
The Enterprise has been caught up in a temporal causality loop, and I suspect something similar may happen.
Let's say Seinfeld was on an island, and he was blowing Boris Karloff. What would that be like?
And it might go something like this. Oh, Mr. Karloff. I loved you in Frankenstein, and I love giving you a blowjob. Why, Mr. Seinfeld, I love having you fuck